بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Him and bearing witness that there is no deity except Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household, and those who follow Him until the day of judgment. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. In our way to exploring the wonders, the endless wonders about the knowledge of Allah and how mysterious they are, Allah subhanahu, we came across that very important point, very mysterious point of the word of Allah will prevail over what is evident from the reality. The word of Allah will prevail over what the reality calls for, and the word of Allah will make a person who is all his life doing good deeds, good deeds, good deeds, suddenly before death, he would do something that will make him from the people of hellfire, because the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he's from the people of hellfire. And that raised an issue, is how could this happen? How could this be true? You know, why would a person, what is wrong with that person? And the answer came in the sincerity of that person. There are two levels of sincerity. There is the first level of sincerity is that your sincerity with the people is that your deeds are not to show off. You're not showing off your deeds to the people for the because it's a you are in a popularity contest or you are running for elections or you are doing this and that so that you recognize, you do things in front of the news and you advertise yourself, you promote yourself. That is the first level of sincerity, which is obvious. But there is another level of sincerity that is deeper than that, which is sincerity of the person with himself. The person or herself. The person shouldn't show themselves to themselves by giving themselves credit, inner credit, developing that feeling of superiority that I am better because I am praying. I am better because I know Allah. I am better because I am doing all these good deeds. And then that person starts looking down to others. And then to him, that person, to himself, he is the stranger. He is among the strangers that the Prophet talked about. They will hold on to Islam when holding on to Islam becomes like holding on to fire. That person will feel that way. However, the rest of the people range between ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ فَاسِقْ to ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. They range between a person who did injustice to himself or herself to a rebellious person. This is the rest of the people except him. So he's not really bragging in front of the people, but he's giving himself credit to the good deeds that he or she are doing, and they are feeling superior to other fellow human beings. They look down to them, and they put themselves in a totally different tower. They don't show off to people because they feel that those people are lower than them. They show off to themselves. It's a self-inner pride. And indeed, one of the important qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants is for us to deny ourselves every credit, any credit of the deeds we do. And we submit all the credit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say, Ya Allah, if we are doing anything good, it's from you. You are the source of every good thing we are doing. And we are the source of every evil things that is happening. Ya Allah, to you belongs all the credit. To us belongs all the blame. Ya Allah, without you, you are the one. The good deeds are coming from you and going to you. It's your mercy. It's because of your favors that we are doing that. It's not from us. So denying yourself credit for any deed that you have done is one of the qualities which is the second level of sincerity, which is sincerity between yourself and yourself. Sincerity of your heart, you're not showing your deeds to yourself and you're not developing that feeling of superiority. And this indeed could be achieved by frequently making this dua, Ya Allah, Anta al-Kareem wa Ana al-La'im. Ya Allah, you are the most generous and I am the most stingy and restrictive. Ya Allah, you are the most honorable and I am the most humiliated. Ya Allah, you are the source of every good thing and I am the source of every evil thing. Ya Allah, you are the most powerful and I am the most powerless. Ya Allah, you are the most rich and I am the most poor. By doing this dua, you are reminding constantly yourself that don't give yourself credit. Musa alayhi salam, he was once talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, Ya Allah, how could I thank you for the good deeds I'm doing? If thanking you for the good deed is a favor that requires further thanking for you, and the further thanking from you is a further favor from you that requires further thanking for you, and the further thanking for you is a further favor from you that requires further thanking from you. Ya Allah, it's an endless cycle of thanking that I will never be able to thank you. How can I thank you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied and he said, Ya Musa, by recognizing this fact, you have thanked me. This is out of his mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly reminding us in the Quran that it is his favor. When he subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هو الذي حبب إليكم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبكم وكره إليكم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. He is the one that beautified good deeds and faith in your eyes and made it loved by you. He's the one who made you love charity and fasting and prayers and coming to the masjid and doing good deeds. He is the one that made you love that. And he is the same one who made you hate and dislike and despise disobedience and drinking and drugs and ganging and all of that. It is him that gets all the credit for changing your heart to be a good heart instead of a bad heart. He subhanahu wa ta'ala also in another verse, he reminded us of the same thing. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَاتَّبَعْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. If it wasn't because of the favors of Allah and the mercy of Allah, you would have all followed the shaitan footsteps, except very few. But it is because of his mercy, he is helping you out to do all these good deeds. Another reminder is the dua al-istikhara. When you are praying for Allah to show you what is good for you, and what's not good for you. To choose for you, for you're confused. You don't know whether you should get that job or not get that job. Make this trip or not make this trip. Marry this person or not marry that person. You did your homework to the best available information. But, of course, you don't know everything. And there are important information hidden there that would totally change your mind, but you're not aware of. So you pray to Allah. And the first thing you say, first of all, you deny yourself any knowledge and declare that Allah is the one who knows and you don't know. So by saying, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ تَعْلَمْ وَلَا أَعْلَمْ وَتَقْدِرْ وَلَا أَقْدِرْ. You know and I don't know. You are able to tell what is good and what is bad, and I am able to tell. I am unable to tell what is good and what is bad. By starting this way, you are on the right track. That is the right start. Denying yourself the credit and the knowledge and everything, and make yourself zero in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zero yourself. You're zero. You're nothing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you get no credit. You know, the wise people always say, if the Allah is not supporting and guiding and helping the intelligent, smart boy, the first reason for his destruction will be his intelligent, smart plans. So, if Allah takes his help and his support away from that person, the person is going to come up with a plan, thinking that this is the plan is the best, yet this plan is the source of his destruction. Planning a trip, taking this flight, and then this flight falls down. And if he wouldn't, if Allah would support him, Allah would make him change the flight. And then many scenarios, endless number of scenarios we can give to show you that people will plan and plot, and their destruction, their planning and plots becomes the source of their destruction because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's support is taken away from them. The Prophet, when he teaches us the dua, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We are helpless without Allah's help. Allah is the source of all help and all strength and all power that we have. And we are totally helpless without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. He is the source of hawl. He is the source of quwwa. You know, when you read surah, when you see the behavior of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, you see a big mystery. You see a big mystery. You see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إِنِّي وَأَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لَا أَدْرِي مَا يَفْعَلُ بِي. I am the Prophet of Allah and I am not sure what is going to happen to me in the Day of Judgment. And then he says, I ask Allah for forgiveness. I make istighfar 70 times in a day and night. You Prophet of Allah, make istighfar 70 times. He is in a state of mind that thinking that he is so guilty that he needs to make istighfar 70 times in a day and night. And not sure, being not sure what is going to happen to him in the Day of Judgment. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu says that if one of my feet is inside Jannah, the other one is not yet in Jannah, I am not sure what is going to happen to me. I am not sure yet until both my feet are in Jannah, then I will feel safe. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, Surah number 9, verse number 77, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm sorry, Surah Al-A'raf, which is Surah number 7, verse 99, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمِ الْخَاسِرُونَ. How could they feel safe from the tricks of Allah? For the ones who feel safe from the tricks of Allah are the losers. If you feel safe from the tricks of Allah, you give yourself credit. Oh yeah, I've done a lot of good deeds, man. Jannah is guaranteed, it's in the back of my pocket. You're not bragging in front of people, you're bragging in front of yourself. So how could you feel safe that Allah will not trick you and put a word there that you are from the people of hellfire, and this word will prevail over the reality and you will do something awfully stupid before you die and then you end up in hellfire. Because you did not have that sincerity in your heart. You have the feeling of superiority. I am better. The feeling of shaitan. I am better than him. I am better than her. When we look around and see non-Muslims, we sometimes have this feeling of superiority. I am better than them. I am a Muslim. And indeed, this feeling is a feeling that Allah hates. Allah doesn't like that feeling of superiority. Allah wants you to recognize the favor of guidance, but not feel superior. Be thankful, not superior. There is a big difference between being thankful to Allah for just guidance, for protection you from myth and superstitious beliefs, but not feeling superior to others. For Allah is the source of this knowledge. He could have taken it away from you and giving it to others. They could have been right and you could have been wrong. He is the one who chose you. He's the one who gets the credit. He is the one that gets the favor. The Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu used to say, when he was dying, I wish that my mother didn't give birth to me. He was so scared. Not only that, but he would go frequently and ask the secret keeper of Prophet Muhammad, who had the list of the names of the hypocrites people, he would go and ask him, am I one of them? Am I one of them? I ask you in the name of Allah. And he cries. And the guy sees Umar asking him and he cries himself. That how could Umar ibn Khattab think that he's from the hypocrites one? Abu Bakr Siddiq, when he was dying, Shaitan came to him and Shaitan said, oh, you are saved from me, Abu Bakr. You are saved from me. And he was on his deathbed and he was in the drowsiness of death. And then he opened his eyes and he said, Shaitan is trying to trick me and say, I am saved from him. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. And he dying saying, not yet. For still, during those few seconds, he doesn't feel safe to be tricked. If he develops the feeling of superiority in his heart and the bride, he would be tricked. He was afraid to be tricked by Allah. So he said, not yet, not yet, until he died and he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the people who feel better than the people who look up to themselves and they say, if we go to the beach and we see, you know, naked girls, we don't feel, we are sure we're never going to look at them. Those people look up to themselves and think that they are bigger than the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know they can never go that low. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like that feeling. Sa'id ibn Musayyib radiallahu anhu, he had one eye which is blind and the other eye couldn't see during the night. And he used to say, I don't feel sure. I don't feel above the test of women. I'm not sure. I'm not going to test myself. I would run away from the test. I don't feel safe being around a test. I am going to run away from that test as much as I can. For I don't feel safe when I am going to be in that test. Finally, Surah there is a very surah, mysterious surah in the Quran, Surah Al-Nas, in support of that. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam conquered Mecca, usually victorious leaders enter the conquered city and town like this, their heads up, and they are so proud. And the first thing they do, they capture the president of the other town and they kill him or humiliate him in the most miserable way. But the Prophet Muhammad, when he conquered Mecca, his head was down, lower than the head of the camel, like this. Not only that, but he gave a lot of honor to Abu Sufyan, who was the leader, and he said, whosoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan, he is safe for his house. Nobody would be harmed in his house, for his house is one of the most honorable houses. He won the hearts. He conquered the hearts before he conquered the land. Now the question is, why was his head was lower than the head of the camel, and he's making istighfar? In Surah Al-Nasr, Allah ordered him to do that. How? إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. If the victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, and you see the people going into the religion of Allah in masses, and you see the religion, the people going, can I finish the surah?
Finish your thought, yeah.
Okay. And you see the people going into the religion of Allah in masses, seek forgiveness from Allah, ask for His forgiveness. Whoa, hold on. Okay, something mysterious. You have done your work, you have done your job, and as a result of, you following what Allah said, you achieve the victory, and people are coming into the religion of Allah in masses. Okay, you say, تَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ, thank Allah, oh yeah, sure, we know that. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَابًا, and seek His forgiveness, for He is very forgiving. That part is the mysterious part. What have I done wrong? Why should I make istighfar? I mean, istighfar in relation to this victory, I mean, where is the, why? Why make istighfar? What is the position of istighfar in that scenario? It is because you give yourself credit when you achieve victory. As a human being, you feel the pride and you give yourself victory. Allah comes and say, make istighfar, for you gave yourself some credit. And you did not deny yourself the credit and refer the credit all back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make istighfar. When you finish the prayer, make istighfar. For you give yourself credit for the prayer, make istighfar. You should deny yourself the credit for the prayer and give it all back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make istighfar when you do a good deed. Deny yourself the credit. Give it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this is the way of righteousness. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه.